This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Say my name.
Mike Florio.
Get the name right. That's all that matters. Spell my name right or say my name properly.
Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports.
Hearing Florio writing articles about it.
NFL Insider.
Take a spin around the league. We bring in Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio.
My name is my name.
With Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score.
Top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Nebraska and Maryland this fall at Ryan Field. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. Mike Florio can be found on Twitter at Pro Football Talk. He of NBC Sports and Pro Football Talk joins us now on the Alphamonte Ford Hotline. Alphamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How are you hanging in there, Mike?
Oh, I'm doing all right. You know, again, I work at home all the time anyway, so things haven't changed much. I feel for the folks who have to go through a significant adjustment to their day-to-day lives, especially the folks who can't work effectively from home but who are forced to stay at home and therefore are faced with the loss of their typical income. Those folks are not having an easy time, and I feel very badly for them. I do not take for granted the fact that I can pretty much continue to do everything that I've always done from home as I've always done it.
Yeah, here's hoping that our different world now maybe changes the way some people look at the internet as a utility and something people need in order to do their jobs. But that's, I don't know, a conversation for a different day. Let's get into the NFL, Mike, and I don't know, all of the nonsense going on here. How big is the group of GMs that are apparently upset with going on with the draft as originally scheduled? How loud can they get? How much change can they affect?
Well, the report that came from ESPN last night cited the general manager subcommittee, which voted 6-1 to recommend that the draft be delayed for two reasons. One, there isn't the kind of information that you ordinarily would have because no player visits to team facilities, no private workouts, no pro day workouts, not the same opportunity to investigate and learn that teams have had in the past. The other reason is that in some states, there's a stay-at-home order, your state, my state, several other states, and so teams' executives can't work at the facility. They have to work at home. Other teams' executives able to go into the facility, and that created a playing field that wasn't level, and it prompted the NFL to react to, I believe, the complaints from the general managers and shut all facilities. See, I think the NFL, as long as everybody's operating under the same rules, the NFL doesn't care if the information isn't as thorough as it ordinarily is for the draft. The NFL wants to put on a show 4 weeks from tomorrow night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The only thing happening other than streaming TV shows and movies and watching whatever fresh content there may be from the networks, there isn't that live event that's going to draw everyone together the way that the draft will. And the fact that some general managers are complaining that they're not going to have enough information, that's not going to get the NFL to move. There are other general managers that I know of that have the attitude, we're fine with it. We're going to do well in the draft, whether we have all the information or less information. We're going to figure out a way to get what we need and make good decisions about these players. And I think it's inevitable that for the same reason they went through with free agency last week, they're going to go through with the draft as scheduled, no matter how many people complain about it.
And we were saying earlier that for some of us who remember the Wild West of drafting and the uncertainty of a coach just like, well, you know, I had a friend who saw a guy and it's the seventh round and we'll take this guy, and then it's the wrong guy, or they didn't know that the guy had severed an arm in, you know, a machine shop, and he shows up for camp and he's got a missing limb. That I just, as a fan, I think it's cool that we have a little less standardization and a little more randomness and risk.
Well, and I think that teams will react to that risk by going with the safer guy. The guys who will slide are the guys who have the medical red flags, who have the character issues that would need to be properly explored and examined. And I think that's going to be the key. But you're going to have to get creative in how you get your information. Instead of having a scout go to the team facility and hang around and talk to the janitor and talk to the people who work in the weight room and talk to anyone else who may interact with that prospect when he's not behaving on his best possible terms, you're going to have to call people. You're going to have to track people down. You're going to have to just do things differently to get the information you need. And see, the teams that are embracing that adjustment, making chicken salad out of the situation, those are the teams that are going to be okay. But I think some teams will be less inclined to take risk. And I can see some teams decide to flip draft picks this year for picks next year and just focus instead on getting veterans. You know, I look at what the Dolphins did last week with 10 unrestricted free agents from other teams that they signed. It makes me wonder whether they're going to be a team that says, you know what, we don't trust this draft. We're going to try to take all these picks we have this year and parlay them, or, you know, not all of them, but some of them into picks next year, and use that as the year we have the big advantage in the draft when we can go out and get all the information we need so we know which players to pick. And with 32 different teams, my guess is that some teams are going to take that attitude where they have less value attached to this year's picks and more value attached to next year's picks when they can go about business the normal way.
Talking with Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Mike, if that's the case, that creates a vacuum for some teams to perhaps move up and take those picks that others like the Dolphins aren't willing to take. Does that mean a squad like the Patriots might be more willing to move up and grab a quarterback here? Side note, what are the Patriots really doing at quarterback? Is Deshaun Watson begging to go somewhere?
You know, I saw one of these offshore sports books suggest last week in odds for who the Patriots quarterback will be week one of the 2021 season, that Deshaun Watson is the favorite at plus 300 odds. Now, nobody was even money or minus money, but that kind of stunned me and caught me a little bit off guard. And you know, look, Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer are the two candidates for now. I could see the Patriots trying to draft somebody if there's somebody they really like, if they can get to that comfort level. I also am intrigued by the availability of Cam Newton, who is 2-0 all time against the New England Patriots, who has given Bill Belichick defenses fits. I think one of the reasons why mobile quarterbacks bedevil Bill Belichick defense is it's so driven by scheme, not athleticism, that once the play breaks down and it reverts to athleticism, that's when the mobile athletic quarterback can run circles around guys who otherwise rely upon angles and position and timing and being in the right place at the right time and working that defensive scheme exactly as it's drawn up by Belichick. So it makes me wonder whether he'd be intrigued about having a similar weapon on his side. They've never had that mobile quarterback. And again, there's a lot of questions with Cam Newton as it relates to his health, as it relates to whether or not he would mesh with the Patriot way. But you have to wonder whether or not Bill Belichick stops and thinks, man, I could take this guy who's beaten me twice and really turn him into somebody who could make our offense something it's never been before.
Yeah, I wonder about the timing for Cam Newton. It's really it's unfortunate for him, because anybody that would be looking to check boxes next to so many of these variables regarding his health can't do it. I mean, it's you, even a team that thinks, yeah, we would like to, but we're going to have to do our due diligence on him, they can't do it. What does that mean for him?
Well, let me tell you one thing. The report that he passed a physical on Monday that was arranged by the Panthers and by Cam Newton's agency with a doctor in Atlanta, that means nothing. Whether you pass a physical on the way out the door with a team that's trying to cut you and you want to go into free agency with this notion that you're healthy, No, the next team will decide if he's healthy before it makes a multi-million dollar investment. The problem is, because of the COVID-19 procedures, there's no way to bring him to your facility and have your doctors look at him. There's no way to send your doctors to see him. You have to rely upon a local doctor to check out the foot, the ankle, the shoulder, and anything else on Cam Newton that has been banged up over the course of the last 9 seasons. So if you're a team that's interested in him, you have to either rely upon a neutral doctor and roll the dice. You have to either wait to sign him until you can allow your doctors to examine him, or you can sign him with an understanding that if he ultimately fails a physical to be performed later at your team facility, you just tear up the contract and everybody goes their separate ways. And a team like the Chargers could maybe get away with that. The Patriots could get away with that. If you have otherwise a fallback in place and you're willing to rattle your penciled-in starter with the idea that he's going to be sent to the bench by Cam Newton, and if it doesn't work out, hey, Tyrod Taylor, you're the starter again. Hey, Jarrett Stidham, you're the starter again. If you're willing to do that, then that may be the way to go. Bring him in, subject to a more thorough physical, but squat on his rights if he'll agree to those terms. Squat on his rights, do the physical later, and then once the facility's open, you can pass him or you can fail him. The problem is, if you fail him, he's out in the cold and starting from scratch, and you're reverting to the guys that you have in the building who are going to be your starters if he's not on the team.
Jameis Winston get a deal before Cam Newton then, with all of those caveats attached to the health of the former MVP?
It's amazing. I've heard nothing about any teams being interested in Jameis Winston. And this may be part of the psychology that I think needs to play out for Jameis Winston. He needs time to pass to accept the fact that he's not going to be a starter. And as he works through the five phases, anger, denial, bargaining, depression, acceptance, once he gets to acceptance, then I think that for him, the best outcome is to go to New Orleans and assume the role that Teddy Bridgewater had last year and the year before that as the game day backup and also short-term backup for a Drew Brees. Because Taysom Hill, assuming that they keep him, and at this point it looks like they will, he's subject to a restricted free agency tender of $4.8 million or thereabouts with a first-round draft pick as compensation. You need to reconstruct the offense for Taysom Hill. You can use your normal offense if you have a backup who can run that offense. That's what Bridgewater was. That's what Winston can be. And I think some time with Sean Payton would really help Jameis Winston work his way back into being a starter somewhere else. And there are people in the media that are pushing hard for the Steelers to bring in Jameis Winston as a backup. You know, he's got to first come to terms with, after making $45 million in 5 years as the starter in Tampa, that he is willing to be a backup somewhere else. Sometimes guys don't want to go back to holding a clipboard, but there's really no other option unless somebody gets injured. And if there's no offseason programs, nobody's going to get injured unless they, you know, have a freak accident at home or while they're working out on their own. Otherwise, you just wait and you wait and you wait if you're Winston, and you just hope that at some point an opportunity arises if somebody does get injured at some point during training camp or the regular season.
We're talking with Mike Florio. The segment brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Nebraska and Maryland this fall at Ryan Field. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. You mentioned Sean Payton. What has been the effect around the league of his diagnosis with COVID-19?
Well, I think that, and I saw Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report tweet this today, and I think that this is something that bears keeping in mind. These coaches have access to doctors who really aren't doing anything right now because there's no physicals to be done. There's no work to be done for the team. And the coaches understand where this ball is moving and how this is playing out. It's not like the entire country is dealing with COVID-19 at once. It's going to migrate and move from state to state, community to community. And the reality is it's going to take a long time for it to play out where everyone, every community has gone through the worst of it. And so, you know, it's Sean Payton for now, and Louisiana is an emerging hotspot for COVID-19. Eventually, it's going to be somebody else. It's going to be players. It's going to be coaches. It's going to be executives. It's going to be owners at some point if they're not careful. And the owners obviously fall into that, for the most part, high-risk category where they need to take all measures to stay away from it. And, you know, I think the NFL is going to be determined to play football this year. But, man, the calendar goes by quickly. April 1 is next week. Before you know it, it's going to be May, June, July. We know how the calendar works, I know. But to think about that. Before you know it, we're going to be up against training camp. Are we really going to be in a spot where we can have 32 training camps? where there aren't some states with stay-at-home orders? Are they going to have to move training camps to states where there isn't a stay-at-home order? How is this going to work? How often are you going to test guys? Are you going to play games in empty stadiums in some cities and not empty in other cities? Is that a competitive imbalance? There's so many what-ifs, and the NFL is notoriously reactive, guys, not proactive. This is the time, if ever before, for them to be proactive and identify every what-if, every possible permutation, and have a plan for everything, because we don't know how it's going to play out. And the NFL can't just react to every development. They need to have a plan for everything and then see how it plays out. However it plays out, we've got a plan, and we implement that plan.
Mike, I'm with you. I think up to this point, maybe even up to earlier this week, I think it was okay that the NFL was letting teams operate under their own direction, under their own rules. I mean, we've kind of seen that in this country, right? Local control maybe supersedes something that's a little bit more overreaching. But at this point, with how quickly everything can change from night to night, finally the NFL has imposed a deadline at 6 p.m. tonight, closing all facilities. What I wonder is whether the NFL was closer to being proactive than reactive on this and just waiting on this particular motion, this particular change in closing things for a while, or if they kind of slapped this thing together just recently, given the way reports have changed on COVID-19.
I think it was a reaction to the general managers saying, we want the draft to be delayed in part because there's an unfair advantage for the teams who can go to their facilities and the teams who can't because they're in states that are subject to stay-at-home orders. So the easiest way to level the playing field is to say nobody goes to their facilities. And that's the problem, because think about the off-season programs now. How can they have off-season programs anywhere if there are any states between April and the middle of June that are subject to a stay-at-home order? What can you do? You're going to have some teams that can have their off-season programs and some can't. That is a competitive disadvantage. So I think what the NFL needs to do right now is acknowledge it's going to be impossible for teams to have off-season programs, and every team needs to come up with the guidance of the league and maybe rules put in place by the league, a way to do the off-season programs at home, like so many of the rest of us are working, using the internet to engage in meetings and film study and everything else that you would be doing in a classroom setting at the facility. And then you're going to have coaches, strength coaches, other coaches, scouts, whoever, administering and monitoring the workouts that guys are going to be doing at home on their own. I mean, that's where this thing is moving. And the sooner the NFL embraces it, understands it, and plans for it, the sooner we're going to have these guys properly in shape in the offseason, and they're not going to show up for training camp whenever it is grossly out of shape, because that's got to be one of your concerns right now. Some guys are going to have the discipline to put in the work on their own, and some guys aren't. And those guys who aren't may take some extra time to get into football shape when it's time to go to training camp.
Mike Florio, thank you as always. Continued good health to you.
Thanks, guys. Stay safe. Great talking to you, and looking forward to talking again soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.